this morning, we will have wasted these next few minutes. And so I'm totally dependent upon Him. Brother Bobby, thank you for singing. What a blessing you are to this old boy. Not sure why, but haven't had much opportunity to spend any fellowship with you. I remember one particular meeting down in Joe Arthur's. We had a chance to have lunch together. But message and song spoke to my heart. Already told you I don't know what to preach this morning. God's allowed me to see 77 summers come and go. And I don't think I've ever seen a more difficult day in what we're witnessing in the breakdown of our society. I remember the spring of 1968. I don't remember what I had for breakfast, but I remember the spring of 1968. One spring morning, I walked into the back of a Baptist church in Northwest Oklahoma City with what was then a young bride. She's still a young bride, but lost without any hope. I had no idea what the problem was, much less the solution. But God saved me, invaded my life and saved me. And, you know, I was 26 years old, and I just fell in love with the Lord Jesus. I was convinced that King James Bible that I happened to have, I was convinced it was the very Word of God. I was convinced that God's Word said what He meant, and He meant what He said. I believed then, I believed that there ought to be a difference in the way Christian people behave and the way non-Christian people behave. There ought to be a difference. I remember believing that abortion was murder. And I remember believing that girls were girls and boys were boys. It really wasn't that complicated a deal. Didn't have to have any extra educational classes. I believed that marriage was between a man and a woman. And I believed that queers were just weird. And I believed that the man of God was a man of God to be followed. Respected and followed. You know what people call me then? They said, there's a difference in you. You must be a Christian.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Well, could I fast forward to today? I still believe those same things. Every one of them. I believe every one of them. I know now why I believe them. I believe every one of them. You know what they call me today? They call me and those like me radical right-wing fanatics. And they talk about us like we're the scourge of the earth. And we're the reason that our society is breaking down. We in these United States of America have been so spoiled. We have no comprehension of what persecution is really like. But it's rampant. All I'm saying is that as we embark on 2020, have no idea, Brother Bobby, what a song, have no idea what tomorrow holds. But thank God we do know the God that holds tomorrow. I talked this morning about a kind of a springboard from the book of Proverbs, I think chapter 13, verse number 20, says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so I have, for the last several years, I have just directed my study to look at the lives of wise men in the Bible. Talked for a little bit this morning about one by the name of Obed-Edom. But this morning I want to talk about the wisest of the wise. the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we face 2020, I'm just being transparent. My memory is not good, so I always have to tell the truth. I will never in the world, if I fabricate something, by the time I come through here next year, I'll never remember what I said. But if I tell the truth, I can always. And so I'm just being transparent. I'm glad to see 2019 pass. Now, I'm not fussing about 2019. Because my great God and Father superintended 2019. I'm just telling you from a personal experience, I'm glad to see 2019 pass into history. It has been an accumulation of highs and lows. Sounds a lot like life, doesn't it? But I'm glad to see it go. I've enjoyed it. God's profoundly gave us some blessings. But boy, I tell you what, though we've had some of the highest highs in seeing lives change, we've had some of the lowest lows. Just glad to see 2019 go. Thank God for it and the lessons that have been learned through it, but I'm glad to see it. I'm looking forward to 2020. But I do so with somewhat mixed emotion because I wonder, how is it I'm going to, looking back on the history of 2019 and what we were gifted to experience in 2019 and anticipating an intensification in 2020, I wonder, how is it I'm going to get through that? And so I look at the wisest of the wise men. And I wanted to, for this morning, just for a few minutes, I want to look at what I think in my mind. If you disagree, that's fine. I'm not going to fuss with you. But I want to look at the most testing time in the life of the Lord Jesus. Could I add this? Could I make an addendum? It might have been those hours of darkness on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That might have been the toughest. But were it not for that, I'm convinced that the scene that I want to look at this morning would represent certainly some of the most difficult, some of the most testing times in the life of the Lord Jesus. A very brief window of time in his life, but it was so pressure-packed with such adversity that as I've studied my Bible and the four Gospels and looked at the life of the Lord Jesus, this is the only time that I can find as many hours, countless hours, as he spent in prayer. This is the only time that I can find that his labor was so intense that his perspiration dropped to the ground as great drops of blood. That is a picture of some of the most intense suffering that's known to mankind, where there's something physiologically that goes on in there, and the blood mixes with the perspiration, and the Dr. Luke said that his sweat, his perspiration falling to the ground was as great drops of blood. This is the only time that I find that in the Bible. Has to be some of the most difficult time in the life of the Lord Jesus. And so with that passage in Proverbs in mind, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, I wanted to look at the life of the Lord Jesus with this question: how did he make it through those hours? What can I learn? What can I learn? What can Fred Johnson read that short passage of 11 verses, what lessons can I learn that can help me in 2020? I think I see three. If you'll be patient with me, I'll give them to you as quickly as possible. Take your Bibles, find the book of Matthew, please. In Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26. When you find your place, if you're able, stand with me, let me read 11 verses, Matthew chapter 26. And if you're not able to stand, please, I am not at all convinced that if you stand, you're more spiritual. And I'm so old, and I just for years I have, and so as much as anything, it's habit. I'm in Matthew chapter 26. I'm in verse number 36. My Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with him into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands. The hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Oh, dear God in heaven, I feel such a need this morning for the breath of heaven. Incapable of comprehending the scene that is unfolded before us, much less to stand and speak of it. Oh, dear Spirit of God, would you minister to the hearts of these good people that have come apart this morning to hear from your word? And dear Holy Ghost, if you don't quicken my mind and loose my tongue, I'll have wasted the time. So speak is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. We'll talk to you for a few minutes this morning about a sermon title that I'm just going to call Tested Tools for Times of Testing. Tested Tools for times of testing. I'm convinced that these are certainly some of the most testing times in the life of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And I'm equally satisfied that probably 2020 is going to represent some of the most testing times that you and I will walk through. May not be. It may be, to, if I can coin the phrase of my president, I voted for him, and I'll vote for him again, but he calls everything perfect. Well, I don't, you know, I'm not sure about his estimation of perfection, but it may be perfect, but I doubt it. You know why? Because we live in a world that's tainted by sin. And I know you know this, but the enemy knows that his time is short. And as his time grows shorter, he's going to intensify the attack. I'm anticipating a difficult 2020. So the question, recognizing that I'm not adequate to the task, I need some tools. And so once again, I've turned to my Bible, and I want to look at this. We're only talking about a very few hours, one, maybe two, maybe possibly 3 hours of the window of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in that passage that I just read. It's interesting, whenever you study the gospel accounts, as my memory serves me, I believe we read 11 verses from Matthew's account. If you read Mark chapter 14, I believe there's 12 verses in Mark's account. If you read Luke chapter 24, I believe you'll find 9 verses that reflect on this window. If you read John's account, in chapter 18, there's only one verse. One of the most profound things about the Gospel of John is that it so far escapes my ability to comprehend. Here is the disciple who loved Jesus the most, and yet in this difficult environment of time, only one verse. It's interesting whenever you read about the scourging of the Lord Jesus that will follow in a few hours. The Apostle John said they scourged him. 33 verses we find in our Bible that communicate to us the lessons that are involved in this very short period of time. Let me give you three tools that I have applied to my life. I do so with the prayer that they'll be of some help to you. Number one is what I'm going to call serious supplication. Let me just give you the three, okay? That way, if my time runs out, you'll have something. The first thing I want to look at, and I'll spend a little bit of time on it, serious supplication. Number two, simple submission. Number three, scriptural saturation. Three tools that the Lord Jesus used and left them for us. And there are three simple tools that every single one of us, we cannot employ omnipotence. It's not in us. But I'm going to tell you something. We can pray seriously, and we can simply submit to God's leadership. And then we can, in fact, hide His word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Let me give you, first of all, I'm going to talk to you for a minute about what I'm going to call serious supplication. Now, back in my Bible, please keep it handy. I'm in verse number 36. And my Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith to the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Skip down, if you would, please, to verse number 40. And he said, "Then cometh the disciples and find him asleep. And said unto Peter, What could you not watch within 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak." Verse 42. And he went and prayed, went again, second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup pass not away from, except I drink it, thy will be done." And then verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Most of God's people don't understand serious supplication. To most of God's people, it boils down to not much more than, "God bless the food. God bless the meal. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God bless the missionaries." I don't mean to be unkind. This is a praying church. Your pastor is seated in the auditorium this morning because this is a praying church. Amen. There's been lives changed in this church because this is a praying church. I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm talking about you got to remember the statement I made. I travel all over the country. And I'm going to tell you something. In most churches I find they have no idea. They have no idea about the concept of serious supplication, because serious supplication is where life and death hangs in the balance. It is not, "Now I lay me down to sleep." No, 1,000 times no. It is a praying like Jairus prayed. You remember reading about Jairus, that ruler of the synagogue that came to Jesus and found him ministering to people, and he had just left the bedroom where his little 12-year-old daughter was dying, and he came and the Bible says that he fell at his feet and he besought him urgently that he would go to his house and touch his daughter, because if he would go and touch his daughter, his little girl would live again. That's the kind of serious supplication that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of supplication that Simon Peter prayed there out in the storm on the ocean, on the sea. And in the midst of that storm, Simon Peter starts to sink and he cried out, "Lord, help me." I'm talking about the kind of praying that Hannah prayed as she was alone there in the temple area, and she was praying to the Lord of hosts, and she cried out from the depths of a broken heart, "Oh Lord God, the Lord of hosts, would you give me a man child?" And she pleaded and she poured out her heart. Her heart was broken because of her barrenness, and she staked life itself on that prayer. I thought about Job. You read about all that Job went through, and Job came to the place, I believe it's in chapter 31, where Job cried out, "Oh, there's not a daysman that can take my hand and reach up and take God's hand." And he said, "Oh, that my adversary would write a book and put in the book some of the answers to life's difficult questions." I'm talking about serious supplication. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of praying that recognizes that in and of ourselves we're incapable to the task. I'm talking about that kind of praying that says, "God, if you do not do something, nothing will change." Well, I'll tell you what I've learned from experience. This kind of serious supplication will work when there's no hope. The Lord Jesus, it's interesting when you go back and trace his life. Numerous times he made the statement, I think it starts in John 2, "This is not my hour." Several times he said, "My hour has not yet come." They want to make him a king. "My hour has not yet come." They wanted to destroy him, Pharisees, and wanted to kill him. But he said, "My hour has not yet come. But whenever you come to John chapter 12 and you come to John chapter 17, you find an interesting statement. "Mine hour is come." What are you talking about? He said, because everything has been moving up to this. And as far as this situation, time has run its course, and the next step that I take is going to be into that threshold of incredible suffering. Serious supplication will help when there's no hope. It'll help when there's no help. It'll help when there's no help. You say, no help. Remember, he made his way. He made his way out of the city of Jerusalem, across the brook Kidron, up the little hill, into the Garden of Gethsemane. But it says he took the two sons of Zebedee and Peter and went into the garden, and there he prayed. But then when he came back, do you remember what he found? Found him asleep. And he cried out. I cannot imagine the empathy. Maybe even the exasperation. What? 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 I ask you for a favor. I brought you. You were with me. These three disciples were with him whenever he made that trip into Jairus' house. And these three disciples saw him raise the little daughter from the dead. And these three disciples were with him on Mount Hermon whenever he was transfigured before their eyes. These three. And yet he comes now to certainly what has to be one of the darkest, most difficult times in his life. And he said, "Watch and pray for me while I go yonder and pray." And he comes back and he finds them asleep. And he goes a second time and prays and labors in prayer and comes back and he finds them asleep again. And he goes again a third time, prays the same prayer, and comes back after the third prayer and finds them asleep again. What am I saying? I'm saying not any help with the disciples, but serious supplication will help. Because it doesn't depend on any help but the Father. And he's always an ever-present help in time of need. Yes. Could I give you a second tool? Serious supplication. You say, well, Brother Fred, how do you differentiate between serious and non-serious praying? Well, let me ask you a question. Just answer it to yourself. How much time do you spend on your prayer? Let me ask you a second question. What's the focus of your prayer? Let me tell you how it is with most of us. Gimme, 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 gimme. When it returns to serious supplication, I'll tell you what it'll turn to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory, hallelujah, to your name. You only are worthy. You have been so good to me in grace and mercy far beyond anything that I deserve. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then another aspect of this prayer will be for others. Lord, would you please bless Brother Billy? He's my friend. And Miss Gloria has been such a helpmate through the years. And she's walking side by side. Would you bless Miss Gloria? I think about Miss Jan McDonald. She's at home in Eufaula. But during this past year, we found out she had cancer, stomach cancer. Been taking treatment. System's gotten run down. Found out a couple weeks ago she's had shingles. And her body hurts so bad. Lord, would you just gather Miss Jan up and love her as only you can? What am I talking about? I'm talking about serious supplication. I'm talking about that it focuses on him. He is worthy. I'm talking about focuses on others. You made fun of the missionaries a while ago. Don't you believe it for a minute. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a world of difference in saying, Lord, would you please bless the missionaries? And you saying, God, remember those missionaries that are working in the Philippines, now going through that terrible typhoon season. Now think about Andy Lehman trying to reach out and minister to those Navajo Indians. And I think about Jason Herndon, his family of five little kids, ministering to the Zuni Indian Reservation in Arizona. And I think about Doug Sissons. Am I making any? Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Serious supplication. Quickly, could I give you a second thing? There is simple submission. Go back in your Bible. Look in verse number 39. And when the little father fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father." If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will. Look at verse 42, and he went away again, second time, prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Verse 44, and he went and left him and went away again and prayed the same time, third time, saying the same words. I don't know what it is about this cup. I just don't know. Heard a lot of ideas about what the cup is. I don't know. Somebody said one time that it was a fear that he had of dying. Not for a minute. Don't believe it for a minute. I don't know for sure what it was, but I know it wasn't that. It wasn't that. But whatever it was the focus of his attention. And it was such a struggle. The only thing that I, Brother Steve, the only thing I can think of that would be that such a, that would be the most intense struggle is when he became sin.
Yes, sir.
When he hung on the cross, he literally, please don't miss this, when he hung on the cross, during those hours of darkness, his body became saturated with the sin, became saturated with your sin. And for the very first time in human, the very first time in eternal history, the Father was separated from the Son. Why was he? Why was there that kind of a separation? The prophet Habakkuk said, "Thou art of pure eyes, and even to behold iniquity." And the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the very Son of God, came to be born of that virgin and laid in a manger for one reason, that he might be the kinsman redeemer, that he might take upon him the nature of the of flesh and blood, that he might one day die as my substitutional sacrifice. And he took on himself on the cross, he took every sin that I have ever committed and every sin that you had committed and every sin of the world, and God turned his back on him and pulled a curtain of light over him so that we wouldn't look on him. Said, "No, sir." It's almost like God said, "No, sir," to that religious crowd of that day that had demanded his crucifixion. It's almost like God said, "No, sir, your eyes are not fit to look upon my Son, the immortal, the infinite Son of God, that in those few hours on the cross, in those few hours, because he was infinite, we are finite, but he was infinite, he took an infinite amount of suffering on himself that day." And during those hours, he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken?" A cup. A cup. Whatever the cup was, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Let me tell you something about simple submission. Simple submission is something every one of us can do. Let me tell you something else about simple submission. It's what every one of us would do if we were smart as God. Could I repeat that? Some of you are not listening. Simple submission is what we would do if we were smart as God. Listen to this man. Last night, talking about an ambulance ride with the young man for 2 hours. And the young man, he talked to him about his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The young man just soaked it up. Let me tell you about your pastor. He said, "What if I had that stroke for the opportunity to sit there and tell that young man about Christ? What if he comes to know him as Savior?" He said, "Do you think I wouldn't take a stroke for that?" He said, "In a minute." What am I saying? I'm saying that if we were smart as God, simple as it'd be easy for us to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me finish. My time's gone. Third thing. Three tools that I'm convinced will help me with 2020. Serious supplication. I need to be serious about my prayer life. Simple submission. Just say, "Lord, you know what's best. I wish he wasn't going through it, but he is." And I can say, "Lord, bless him. You do know what's best." Number three, and I'm through. Scriptural saturation. Many of you are aware that Ms. Bert and I live at a rescue facility. Southeastern Oklahoma, God's raised up 42 years. And we've watched God reach down from heaven, touch hearts and lives, change people. Sometimes I'm asked as we travel around, Brother Fred, what's the secret to the success of Calvary Baptist Ministry in the City of Refuge? First time I was asked, I had to stop and think. The more I stopped and thought, the more I convinced I am that the secret to the success of a changed life is the power of the Word of God. Amen. It's the power of the Word of God. Amen. It's the power of the Word of God. We require the men in our program to memorize the Scripture. I give them, whenever I'm home, I give them a test on every Tuesday night. I'm convinced that if a person will spend time in the Word of God, it will get to the place where it will dominate our thinking. We will be thinking about the right kinds of things. Do I remember reading from Romans chapter 7 that the apostle said that there is a war raging in me? It's a war between the flesh and the spirit. And he said, the things that I would, I do not. The things that I would not, that's what I do. But it's no more sin, but it's no more me, but sin that dwells in. There is this war going on inside of us. I said, well, who's winning? The old missionary used to say, it's whoever you're feeding the most. Whoever you're feeding the most. If you don't spend any time, any quality time in the Bible, don't be surprised when you have evil thoughts. If you don't spend an adequate amount of time in the Bible, don't think it's strange that you have trouble forgiving someone for being such an offensive thing to you. Jesus said, he went back to the disciples. He said, let us arise. Let me see. I thought I had it, and I don't have it. He said, verse 46, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. How did he know that? He knew the book. He knew the book. He was, I understand, he was the book, but he knew the book. Do you remember those times whenever the enemy confronted him in the wilderness after his baptism? And he was out there for 40 days and 40 nights fasting. On three occasions, I think it's three occasions, the enemy came to him. And on all three occasions, the response of the Savior was, it is written. He quoted the Bible back to him. Here's what we've learned in our ministry at the ranch. If a young man will give himself to reading and meditating and memorizing the Word of God, the Holy Ghost of God will use that book to change his life. That's what we've learned. Three tools, I'm convinced, will help me. Serious supplication. Simple. Don't complicate it, folks. Don't complicate it. Don't try to make it more than it is. It's a simple submission. As he gives you leadership, just do it. Yes, just do it. You say, well, I thought. No, don't think. Yes, if he's speaking to your heart, you've got to have enough sensitivity to recognize when he's speaking. He spoke to my heart yesterday sitting in that hospital room. You fussed with me. You fussed with me. And you fussed with me. But God had said something in my heart. Well, I'm just telling you, folks, I'm simple-minded, but I have learned over the years, just do what he says. Yes, yes, sir. Amen. And then get in your book and stay in your book. Father, we love you. You've been good. Lord, I pray that somebody in this crowd this morning got something from your word, and your spirit would speak peace to their heart. And Lord, for whatever you do, we're going to pause and say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Steve, take service.